Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Mark Wilson-Thomas. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Rob. How's it
How
going?
Are you? All right. Welcome back onto the show.
Yeah, good to be back.
Mark is a program manager in Visual Studio land.
That's right, yep.
On the editor, and you're going to show us a bunch of things in Visual Studio 2015 that, while we are coding, make our lives better.
That's the hope, yes.
So
specifically, actually, this cycle in Visual Studio 2015, we've been focusing on making your life better when you make mistakes, because I don't know about you, but I kind of make mistakes a lot when I code. But
I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of mistakes.
I shall say nothing.
Yeah.
So making mistakes and fixing them is part of most of our lives, right? And here I'm not so much talking about debugging, but actually during the coding process, right?
Now, a couple of these features we've seen when Mads was on talking about C#, he showed a couple of them.
Yep.
So people are somewhat familiar with things like the light bulbs and whatnot. But you're on the team that created these things.
That's right.
So we're not only going to get to see the cool demos, but you're going to educate us on why these things were created and how they're used.
Yeah,
so even if you've seen light bulbs before, people watching at home, stick around because
and I mean honestly, I hope I can get you hooked on a few shortcuts as well. I really need you to know that Control.Enter is your best friend, and you'll see why in a moment.
Okay.
But light bulbs are a big part of our new experience in Visual Studio 2015, and the reason why we invested there is because fixing as you go is just a very useful thing to be able to do. And we had ways of doing that in the past. You know, we had the old smart tags infrastructure, but we needed a really nice, scalable, extensible way of doing that let you present much more information to the customer, to the end developer who's using your fix.
And I'm going to make a guess that a lot of this was enabled by rewriting the compilers.
Absolutely right. So a big driver here has been actually the ability to present such an enormous amount more in the way of finding and fixing issues from that underlying compiler infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So Roslyn has this wonderful analyzer capability, which presents an enormous amount of opportunity for folks to present a knowledge of issues to developers as they code.
It's kind of interesting because when people were Dustin and folks were first talking about Roslyn, it's like, hey, you know, we got this project called Roslyn, and you know, a bunch of new things are going to come from. So here's some new features in VB and C#.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought is, hey, new features in VB and C#. Those are cool. What's that got to do with Roslyn?
Right.
Because last time anybody checked, all the previous versions had new features.
Right.
But it turns out that rewriting the compilers just enabled an amazing amount of stuff.
That's exactly right.
In addition to the new features.
It's more than just new language features. Mm-hmm. They've enabled a whole set of infrastructure that's wrapped around the experience you have while you're coding in those languages, right? So it's that ability to provide fixes is the one that we can talk about today. And not all the other languages out there have that kind of capability, but that doesn't mean they can't do light bulbs. So one of the things you may not know is that actually light bulbs are actually also there in C++.
I did not know that.
Yep, absolutely. So there are a couple light bulbs that you can get to in C++. There's also some light bulbs that you can get to for web development in the Web Essentials. So those are all users of the light bulb infrastructure that we've built into the editor. So anyone who wants to extend Visual Studio today, if you've got fixes to present, you've got a couple of options, right? Mm-hmm. You can either go straight to the metal and write your own light bulbs, which is basically all a light bulb is. Now let's take a look at one, bit of anatomy lesson here. Here's a light bulb. It's a list of fixes. In this case, there's only one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they're associated with a location in your code base, a span in your code base. And in this case, we're presenting a preview, okay? And some potential flavors to the action that you might take, which in this case are about the scope. Okay, so you can write that set of capabilities right to the metal and actually produce your own light bulbs in any language you like. If you've got your own language service, you're an extender out there, you're absolutely capable of building your own light bulbs.
And you don't have to use a light bulb icon, I assume.
You actually are, at this point in time, stuck with our light bulb.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
And the reason for that is...
that assumption.
Yeah, there are ways and means of customizing and presenting more stuff, but we're trying to avoid an enormous proliferation of light bulbs styles out there. And if folks are interested,
so we don't want to just
more customize
up to any emoticon you want, screaming
heads, screaming head icon,
shaking things.
Probably
at you
not so much, no.
And,
but
customers coming at you with pitchforks.
Right. Well, I hope they don't do that.
Animations.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, so that thing is basically out there as an extension inflection point, you can create your own light bulbs that way. Okay. Or if you're working on top of Roslyn, you can ship an analyzer. And we'll come to how analyzers work and how they fall into the flow of things later. And there's some great content out there already on analyzers, which I really do recommend people check into.
Cool.
So, I mean, really what we were about, as well as fixing the discovery of issues and the discovery of fixes about issues, was providing a way to filter the larger amounts of issues that you might discover in the new error list as well.
Right.
So we've done some stuff there too. So if I just kind of kick off here and take a quick look. So here I am in a project where I've actually got a couple of daft errors. I've become quite professional at introducing daft errors during this project. I introduced an error, and I'm going to F8, which is just paging me through another of my favorite shortcuts. It's just takes me to the next error. Okay, and you notice it's placed my carrot there. Okay, that's what it's always done, but in placing the carrot there, you see a light bulb appeared right over here.
Yes.
Right? So the light bulb is on the screen, and that's telling us we have a potential fix. Okay. Now, if you hover on the light bulb, it will tell you a secret, which is control dot. Control dot is your best friend, as I mentioned earlier. Control dot gets you into the light bulb, and it tells me what it's going to do for me.
Okay.
So here it's just presenting a list of potential fixes. And this is the generic structure of the light bulb we talked about earlier. Okay. So here, as I move down through the list, I can see it's telling me what it's going to do for each of these actions. And I get this handy-dandy preview out here, which tells me exactly what my code is going to look like before and after. This is actually the power of Roslyn at work that's presenting this this preview here. But anyone who writes a light bulb can present their own preview. You just have to do a bit more work if you don't have a nice compiler infrastructure like Roslyn sitting
underneath
you.
So the order of suggestions is basically the ones we think are the most likely are at top?
Yeah, we try and do that. Yeah,
we try and make sure... Can we be doing that?
We'll know when people have given us some usage telemetry, right? So actually all of this has telemetry behind it, and we'll be tracking how these things are used. For those of you who opt in and let us track your telemetry, we'll figure out whether we've got these orders right and whether the most popular one really is at the top of the list. And you know, we may make some adjustments in response to telemetry there. But yeah, so we can fire up one of these changes. And in order to take the action, I don't have to do any more than literally, if the top one is the right one, all I have to do is control dot enter, done. Right?
Yeah.
It's like magic, right? if we've picked the right one for the top of the list. Right. So worst case, it might be control dot arrow arrow enter.
Right.
right. But assuming we have a fix for your issue.
Control Z if
and control Z if it was the wrong one. Right.
Sure.
Exactly. So that's nice. And you saw how that light bulb on. And talking of control Z, I'll just undo it and reintroduce my error.
Okay.
If I hover over that, I don't have to use the keyboard. If I'm a mouse kind of person, I can actually go ahead and use the mouse to invoke this.
So the light bulb, when does the light bulb show up in the margin versus inline in the code like that?
Well, I'm glad you asked, right? It's actually pretty straightforward. The deal is...
I love it when I ask a question I don't know the answer to, and you say, well, it's quite straightforward.
It's straightforward.
You couldn't have figured that out
if you happen to have spent the last year looking at them. But,
okay.
I didn't mean to say it that way, man. Anywho, if I carrot my way into the line, okay, so if I arrive on the line by using the keyboard, and here we were thinking about the keyboard scenario, we really wanted to keep the clutter out of your way. So imagine you're doing this, you're working down through your list, and it's only when you've landed on a line and waited for a few milliseconds to elapse that you'll see that light bulb appearing there. And that's just to stop it from giving you a laser light show when you move down through the lines. So if your question is, if you're a mouse kind of person, we realized as we did more user testing in this area that one of the things that mouse-oriented folks tend to do is they tend to fixate on the squiggles. So if you're hovering over the span where the issue exists, that's when you'll see a light bulb we have one
and
for you.
And then if you click on Paint Object Constructor, does the light bulb shift back to the margin?
Actually, we've done, there's some very subtle interactions around that. Now that is super complicated how that works, and we've tuned that quite a bit to try and make sure that we don't get a dance of the fairies.
Right.
It sort of bops back and forth between the two. In some of the early, if folks were early preview users, you'll have seen a kind of different experience.
Yes, well, that's one of the reasons I asked.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah, RC's a whole lot better in this respect.
It has settled down.
We try to make it stay in one place. It doesn't dance anymore. And mm-hmm. so we, you know, thanks to everyone who's raised the feedback on that. And it was one of those really important tuning exercises to get that just right.
Okay.
So here we go. We can fire up our light bulb and use it from here. Now, another little subtlety to notice here is if I introduce an extra error here. Okay, there's two errors on this line now. Mm-hmm. Now, if you think for a moment here, what does it mean to be on this line, okay? I'm right here, and if I hit Control Dot, what should I see in my margin, okay? Am I gonna see fixes for the left-hand error or the right-hand error?
Both.
Well, you're dead right. You're gonna see them for both, and you notice they're separated by these bars, mm-hmm. and that's because we can't tell which one's which,
okay?
But if I go here, I know the context.
Okay.
Okay, so I can tell you the exact fix that you need. Okay, and so that makes life a bit easier for us. So we try and make sure we use context where we have it. Mm-hmm. And there are a few little extra tweaks that we've done there to make that happen. But generally speaking, the interaction is exactly the same once you start using the thing, and taking the action is the same wherever you go. Yeah. So that's using the light bulb. Now, let's suppose that I'm using the hover-based light bulb here. I'm going to remove that unnecessary cast.
And you knew that was an unnecessary cast because it was sort of grayed
because
out.
Of the grayness, exactly. Okay. So that's the new symbol. And actually, this has been very much a tuning exercise as well. One of the interesting things about this is that because these are only recommendations, and a redundant cast isn't going to stop your code compiling.
Right.
It's just fluff. Right, it's just cruft in your code, stuff you don't need. It's superfluous. It makes it harder to maintain the code because you have to read more rubbish to get to the good stuff.
Doesn't affect performance.
Doesn't hurt performance. The compiler's going to throw it away anyway.
Yeah.
But from a readability and maintainability perspective, you probably want rid of it, right? Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, it's just a recommendation. We don't want to shout at you about it in the IDE. So we don't want to slap you around and say you really need to fix this. We made sure that we did a subtle interaction here. So instead of a squiggle, it's just that faded out thing. But whenever you see one of those, you can usually get to a light bulb that's going to help you fix it.
It's definitely better than adding additional squiggles.
Yes, more squiggles, particularly for this kind of thing. And as we get more and more analyzers into the mix, where folks are writing them for all kinds of purposes, that are typically the kinds of things that you used to do with static analysis, more on that in a moment, that you really don't want your entire code base to be full of squiggles.
That's going to actually raise an interesting question. Is it possible for me to be running two or three different analyzers that disagree?
You know,
and then what happens?
Yeah, I actually don't know how they disambiguate there.
Okay.
But that's actually more of a Roslyn analyzer's question. But I don't know how that works. But I'm sure they've thought of that scenario because it's not unusual to have that notion. Anyhow. When I remove this unnecessary cast, away goes my light bulb, and there's nothing to see here anymore.
Yep.
But the interesting thing to notice is, with analyzers, the world is immediate.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this kind of issue, redundant casts, those kinds of things, stylistic issues, that kind of stuff, typically you only used to discover that when you did a code analysis pass.
Right.
And some teams maybe do a code analysis pass once every few weeks, or maybe even once a sprint or once a milestone or something like that, and then they accumulate the debt.
Okay.
Right? So that those issues remain in the code base, and what typically happens is, because they're not functional, they get thrown under the carpet and left for later. And later means never.
Right. So the first one, which with the red squiggly, that is a compiler error. It won't build, you have to fix it. It shows up in the error list. It's pretty easy to build the project and find all your errors.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way of essentially saving the, let's say I look at that and go, I'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
When I move off it, how would I go back later on and either find all of those, or is there a way to get all of the light bulbs to appear so I can scroll through my code?
That's a feature that we would love to have, and in fact, we'd love to hear how people would like to see that. This is something we're thinking about for future releases.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of, we call it Christmas tree mode, where you turn on all the light bulbs at once.
Yeah.
it doesn't exist yet,
okay.
And we're thinking about ways to do that. That's a piece of feedback.
I think that would be interesting. And maybe even the ability to turn them off in live mode and then turn them back on, because you go into go into some code and the first thing you see is, oh, I've got unused usings,
mm-hmm.
right? Which you can argue is kind of a context switch. I've mm-hmm. taken away from the point, which is to go write some code,
yep.
and now I'm cleaning up yep. stuff that didn't need to be cleaned up.
And that's why we didn't want to put them
right.
straight into lists
right.
straight away. But what
yeah.
you do need is a place where you can go discover those
yes.
things, right? So when you've got existing debt, right, so you have an old code base
mm-hmm.
that already has this, and you didn't have the analyzers while you were writing it, so
right.
it didn't tell you. So you've accumulated some debt,
yes.
right? And that scenario we haven't yet dealt with.
Okay.
And except through, and this is the interesting thing, you might be wondering whatever happened to code analysis,
mm.
right? Well, code analysis still exists, okay? It's static code analysis that you run in batch mode. So I'm going to go ahead and run code analysis on this solution. And one of the things that we really realized as we started to work on this project was we're going to have a whole bunch of analysis that's coming from these live analyzers. We're going to have analysis that's coming from code analysis. And we're going to have analysis that comes from other kinds of tools as well,
right?
Right? Now, it's going to be pretty awkward to have to keep bopping back and forth between, like, you remember the old code analysis window in VS 2013
mm-hmm.
and the error list, now which one goes where? We started to realize what we really needed was a single one-stop shop
right.
for me to manage all the stuff that's wrong with my code.
Yes.
Okay, all the stuff that you know about that might be an issue in my code and that perhaps you might be able to help me out with.
Right.
Right. And so the error list is now that place. So you'll notice that all of my code analysis issues are now showing up. My static code mm-hmm. analysis issues are now showing up in the error list. The error list, as a result, had to start dealing with larger volumes of
yeah.
material, not just because of the analyzers, but because of the fact we're putting code analysis through here as well. And so we've built it at higher scale, and we've built a few little features in here that allow you to focus in. So if I just do a quick zoom in here, actually, I don't have that right now. You can see that I can do Excel-style filtering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you've ever used an Excel table, you'll know those little
yep.
blinkers at the top that allow you to filter on your items in the list.
Right.
So every item in the list appears. I can say, okay, I'm interested in looking at the 1704s. Okay. And here I am. I'm back to just the 1704s. Let's
okay.
say that's. Let's say I've done a debt analysis and I've decided I'm going to get rid of all of these bad spellings in my code today. That's going to be my thing for today.
Right.
I can focus in on those and just deal with all the clutter, the rest of the clutter later.
Right.
So I can filter down very easily, and I can always see if I've got a filter on because it'll show the little filter icon there. In addition, we've actually added this link here. I don't know if you've played with that yet, but
yeah.
this is pretty neat. It basically just takes you off to the documentation for that type. In fact, it's in this case, because it's code analysis, it's going to be the static documentation for that. But in some other cases, we'll actually take you to a search for some kinds of issues that will help you to pin down issues that way. And that's pretty useful. So in this case, it's telling me I've got a bad spelling here. I can use the same technique as I did before. And I'm going to hit up the top of my code base here. Just hit home. And you can see that I have this namespace up here called paint utils, which is what it's whining about. It says utils isn't a real word mark. You really need to do something a bit better than that. And so here I'm going to use the light bulb again. And this is another place where people don't necessarily realize light bulbs are the story. People have, I think, started to get used to the idea that light bulbs are for fixes. Okay,
yeah.
But they're also for actions as well, on-demand actions. And this one is one of those. This is the new rename refactor experience. Okay, so you notice the little dotted line around
yeah.
there. If I hit control dot, it's going to say, do you want to rename? Yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. Done. Okay.
Cool.
So now if I ran my static analysis again, that error would go away. But notice that because it's static analysis, it isn't going away right now. If,
right.
if this was implemented as an analyzer, that would be a very different story. Right?
Yes.
Now, another thing you might have noticed here is that I've got a bunch of messages. Okay. And the messages are actually coming from, if I can just get those to, yes, that's why. I just need to clear my filter, because obviously the messages don't have that error code. And I'm going to get rid of the warnings just so we can focus in on the messages. Okay, these messages are actually all coming from Dustin's C# Essentials. I don't know if you played with that yet,
yes.
which he demoed pretty extensively in his build session.
Yep.
But the reason I'm bringing this up is because the C# Essentials thing is actually an analyzer.
Right.
Okay. So you can see how analyzers can start stacking up your error list with all kinds of new messages that you need to deal with. And once you're dealing with them, you can use all of the same methods that you use to deal with any other mm-hmm. kind of issue in the error list. So you can move around with F8, Shift F8.
And then you have the ability to change the severity.
So you can
those, right?
You can absolutely configure those things. So up here in the references, you'll find the analyzers node. Yep. And if you want to configure that, you can open the active rule set. And we can say, actually, here's the C-sharp essentials. I want to go in and actually I can say, you know, for any one of those, I can decide what their severity might be. Okay, so I can choose that for my team, and these settings travel with your project.
Which is kind of a like a shortcut for you decide you're going to change, you know, all the spelling errors or whatever. So you identify a particular code, set it to error, and then you've guaranteed that you can't build the project until you've taken care of all of
them. That's certainly a strategy that's very helpful in doing that kind of thing. So that's a way of getting passes through debt, right? Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah, that's a great idea. So yeah, that's really what we've done in the error list, and it makes makes getting around a whole lot easier than it than it used to be. And we hope that folks you know, enjoy that. We've actually tested this thing on the Roslyn project itself, which, you know, if you're a keen viewer at home, you can get that from GitHub and check it out with a few analyzers, and you can get yourself quite a lot of nice errors in your error list, and you'll see we scale to hundreds of thousands in there now.
Wow. So,
whereas before it simply would not deal with that.
Right.
So there's a lot of work gone under the hood to deal with that and make sure it's done in a way that doesn't slow you down while you're coding.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the find fix cycle now is what we've been focusing on. We've got it available in multiple languages now. Some of these features are not available to the same depth everywhere, but all of the capabilities are something that's open for everyone
so
to extend.
So C# and VB.
C# and VB have the analyzers framework.
Right.
Okay, so they'll allow you to address the light bulb real easy by writing an analyzer. And actually, those things are designed for pretty much anyone to be able to write one. So if you're a dev lead on a project and you see an anti-pattern that keeps on cropping up in your check-ins, you go ahead, you write yourself an analyzer, you check that into the project that your folks are working on, they'll start seeing squiggles right away. And if you, even better, if your analyzer has a fix with it, they'll actually be able to fix those things, you know, the way you want it fixed. So you'll never have to see that bad check-in again. And so it's for everyone, right? That's the idea. Now, for the other languages, things aren't necessarily quite so easy. You have to figure out your own actions framework and so forth, but you can certainly present custom actions and fixes that way as well, through the Lightbulb.
Cool.
And actually the documentation for extending Lightbulbs using both analyzers and not is all up on MSTN now.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, and there's a walkthrough there too. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. So Visual Studio 2015 in RC currently.
In RC currently.
We're very close to being done.
Yep. But you know, what's really important, Robert, is that we hear from people.
Right.
And we're very, very interested to understand what's top of mind for people right now. This is a great time to be talking to us and giving us a good poke. So use the comments thread to say, hey, what's your top thing that you would love to see
editor? User voice?
Should user voice use GitHub? Yeah, user voice for us is the right place to be right now. And sorry for the confusion there, because if you're talking to the Roslyn team right now, because everything they do is open source now, GitHub is the right place to go. User voice is the right place to talk to the general VS team, to the editor team, and we'll pick up your responses there. Honestly, we do talk to each other, so you know it doesn't really matter where you raise it. Dustin knows my number, and he'll come and bug me.
Well, the nice thing about user voice is other people can vote.
So yes,
it's the easiest way. If you just want to let us know what you're thinking, either way would work. But if you want
to get
other people to vote and support you and.
So if you go to visualstudiouservoice.com, there's actually an editor section under there. I read that thing all the time.
Okay,
so I'm always scanning that section, and we see all the comments there. It's very important that people put their favorite features up there and tell us all about why they care about that kind of thing. So we got a bunch of things we're thinking about there. We're also thinking about potential ways that we might make setting up your settings in the editor more straightforward, because tools options has been there for a long time, and there's a lot of stuff in there right now, so we're wondering maybe there's some ways to make that better. So if you've got ideas and thoughts about how you'd like to see that done, please do drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Cool.
That was awesome. And we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.